We're familiar with the Great Commission. Alan has been referring to that. What is the Supreme Commission? It's found back in Deuteronomy. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I think that is the fundamental basis for any church or for any mission outreach. Unless you have a real profound love for the Lord, then your work will just become perfunctory. And love is not something that comes through faith. Love is something that you develop through fellowship. Think back to the time when you courted your wife. Or if you're young and you're courting a young lady, love comes through fellowship, comes through contact. It comes through dating. And that's the way it is with us as believers. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I think that is absolutely fundamental to any mission outreach or to any missionary that wants to serve the Lord. And then there is the mission challenge, which is given by the Lord, found in John 20, verse 21. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Notice that these are imperatives, they're commands. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And as the Father has sent me, so send I you. The global challenge is found in Acts. You shall be my witnesses, as you well know, first of all in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and even unto the remote parts of the world. It's been thrilling for me to hear and be here this conference. Our missionary speakers have emphasized the importance of evangelism and reaching out to those that are still unreached, that haven't heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know him as their personal Savior. That's evangelism. Then, as part of the Great Commission, with which we're all familiar, and Pastor Alan has been mentioning this, found in Matthew. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then comes another imperative, teaching. Teaching them. Missions has different aspects. It has the evangelism, it has the church planting, and it also has the teaching part of it, where schools, Bible schools, and seminaries are established to help the church, the people, to grow in their wisdom and in their knowledge and in their ability to communicate the gospel in their own culture. Paul put it this way. And he puts it kind of in the form of four interrogatives, four questions. First of all, he says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, true. There's no other way. And that's what missions is all about. Proclaiming the message either on a personal basis or over the radio or by TV. Using other methods such as medical outreach, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then Paul follows that with four questions. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And that pushes back to the Great Commission. The third question, or the second question, is how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? They can't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unless they've heard. And that's why missionaries go out. That's why we have radio and TV and other methods to proclaim the gospel. And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's the missionary that goes out. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And so we have sending churches and individuals that support missionaries and support missions and send them out. Now, I have some other questions that kind of follow along with Paul's questions. And how can those who are sent preach to them and plant churches unless they have scriptures in their own language? It's wonderful to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but you just can't leave them there. You have to nurture them. And that is only done through the Bible. And so, mission boards, Wycliffe, and others, SIM is involved in translation of the scriptures. The United Bible Societies are working at this, printing the Bible. I have some figures that I took out of a kind of an old copy of Operation World. In fact, it goes back to 2001. And in that book, it says that there are 7,148 languages in the world. And it says 2,000 of that 7,148, 2,000 do not have any part of the scriptures in their language. The United Bible Societies in 1999, it's quite a long time ago, they were involved in 672 programs or projects where they were working with translators trained and nationals in the various languages working at translating the scriptures. 672. And of that 672 projects, 463 were first-time translations. The United Bible Society has a policy that where a translation has been in circulation, I think it's about 10 years, then they require that that translation be revised, updated. I suppose that's due to possible errors that crept in and also the evolution of language. They had in 1999 24 million Bibles distributed. 24 million. 26 million New Testaments distributed. 577 million portions of the scriptures were distributed in all different languages. In 2000, the United Bible Society's budget was $53 million. That's staggering, isn't it? But I think it shows us the importance of having the scriptures. When people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, even in our local churches, we try to nourish them and to help them grow spiritually. And that's why the United Bible Society, Wycliffe, and other organizations see the importance of translating the Bible. But one organization, $53 million in translation work. It's wonderful. God has promised my word shall not return and be void, isn't it? I'm not sure about this. It's probably updated or should be updated now, but as I say, this was 2001. Wycliffe, by 1999, had completed 500 translations of the New Testament. 500 translations of the New Testament. In the Luchasi Bible that we work in, this was finished in 1963 and has not been revised since then. A revision was started, but the head reviser was killed in an ambush in Angola. So the whole project came to an end. The importance of Scripture is repeatedly emphasized in the Bible, isn't it? God's word is very, very necessary. How will they call upon the Lord unless they hear, unless they know, unless they are nurtured, and unless they grow? I have another question. And how can nationals who are new believers study the Scriptures and grow spiritually unless they know how to read? I mean, if we spend $53 million to translate the Scriptures, we need to look at the problem of literacy. What's the sense of distributing millions and millions of Bibles if nobody can read them? They just take them home and put them on the shelf. There's a mission board that has dedicated themselves to literacy. It's called Literacy Evangelism. Literacy International Evangelism or something like that. And back in the early 70s, they came to Angola and we wrote a primer to teach adults mainly how to read their language. There are 30 lessons in here based on the language that they use sort of every day, you know, hunting, fishing, preparing food. And the last few lessons brings them to the point where they can read the Bible. And that's why this organization is formed. They see the importance of not only the Scriptures, but teaching people how to read the Scriptures. Literacy, evangelism. And that's another phase, you see, of missions. Perhaps not emphasized, but very, very important. My last question is, and how can students and pastors deepen their knowledge and understanding of God's Word unless they have helps and study materials? And that's been the burden on our hearts. My son Calvin, and he'll be speaking towards the end of this session. Ever since we came back from the field, we have devoted ourselves, speaking my wife and I now, to preparing study materials. There are three Bible institutes. They're pictured up there on the map. One is in Angola. And then to the south of Angola is the country of Namibia. There's a Bible school at Menongi, where my son Calvin taught for 10 years, and I taught for 20 years before that. And then there's a Bible school in Rundu, where I taught for 1 year, and Calvin also taught there for a year. And then over in Zambia, to the east, to the west of Angola, is another Bible institute at Mongo. So we have three Bible institutes that can use the materials that we're producing. We have have had the privilege of writing textbooks. I have an outline, a comprehensive outline of the whole Bible. It's a textbook that they can use in the Bible institutes for 3 years. It covers the Old Testament, a small section on the intertestament period, and then on the life of Christ, the harmony of the Gospels, and then, of course, the last part on the book of Acts. There's a book over on our table of an introduction to the Old Testament books and an introduction to the New Testament books. These are all textbooks that are used in these Bible institutes. Then I wrote a commentary on Daniel, a commentary on Revelation. I just finished a commentary on the prison epistles. And presently, I'm working at a book for women. When we were last out there, I had the privilege of speaking at a pastor's conference. There were 230 pastors there in an eastern part of Angola, remote, 100 miles east of Minongue. It was really way out. I was amazed to see that many people there. Some of them I recognized as having been students in the Bible Institute, where we had worked 30 years before. I was just amazed to see their faithfulness and commitment to the Lord and the work that they were doing. Way out there, in the middle of nowhere, we sold $750 worth of literature, and we ran out. We didn't bring enough with us. The hunger to read and to study something is just amazing. And they teach one another how to read. The literacy rate is just exploding in Angola. And when they can read something in their own language, it's just amazing. And these poor people, some of them may have one pair of shoes, yet they'll give money to buy literature because they want to read and want to study the God's work. That's the work that you folk have been doing through us. We feel that the Lord has blessed us in a very unusual way. As Jim said, we are MKs. We had the unique privilege of growing up out there as little children, playing with the boys and girls and learning their language at that level, and then going back and working with them as adults. I don't think there's anybody else in this world that knows their language like Calvin and I. And that is a tremendous responsibility. I feel the weight of that weighing on me all the time. And I feel that I can continue serving the Lord by producing these books. At this conference that I just referred to, Calvin was in the back of his truck selling literature, and the people just packed solid around the car. This lady came up to the back, and I was standing kind of off to the side watching the whole thing, just amazed at what was going on. I couldn't believe it. This well-dressed woman came up to me, and we greeted, as is the custom out there. And then she asked me a question that kind of just threw me for a loop. She said, "Are there any books for women?" Here we'd spent a lifetime out there teaching in a Bible Institute, and there were women, ladies in our classes, but we had never produced anything that would target women and help them and the problems and the needs that they have. So we have started a book. I've gone through five of the important women and their contributions to the scriptures, and how that can be reflected in their lives, in their everyday life today. So we just thank you as a family for the tremendous and faithful support that this church has been to us. And we just hope and want to continue this as long as the Lord permits. Thank you very much, and may the Lord bless you.